Good morning, beautiful people. Happy Sunday. Man, today I am interviewing my friend. Well, let me back up. I am having a discussion with Trainer V, my sister in Christ. And this interview is just a reminder of how important it is to share God's word, to help each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, to put our gifts to use, and to just communicate as sons and daughters of Christ. So sit back and enjoy this discussion. Let's do it.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
What it is, Christ followers, Unknown Preacher LA, aka Lonzo, aka just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And guess what? This is episode 49. Man, God is so good. I want to thank Radio 1 103.9, The Light, the followers, and the faithful few who were with me on day one. God, it's good. Thank you so much. And today is a good day. You know why? Because today's guest is really going to be a blessing to the show, y'all. I'm so excited to have her on. You might know her from her own podcast, Making Life Happen with Trainer V, or you purchased some of her literature or attended her workshops. Full of wisdom, full of spiritual knowledge, and just an anointed woman of God. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, master trainer and motivational extraordinaire, Trainer V, aka Veronica Burnett Hunter. How you doing, V?
I am all for it. I'm doing good on this Sunday morning.
Awesome. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. I know people have their own, you have your own podcast and busy schedule, so I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, I really appreciate you inviting me, because anytime I get to talk about this topic, I'm all for it.
Amen to that. So we'll get into it. And again, just great to have you on. Hey, what's been going on? Really loving your podcast, by the way. I'm just glad that you're out there.
Yes. So it's just, I am all about inspiring people to just live their best life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've learned through my journey with walking with Christ. So anything that I can do to help people to achieve that, again, I'm all for it. And it is so much to discover. That's the thing I love about God. It is so much.
Yes.
So much to discover. And it just excites me just to even be in his presence, just to know about him. And the more I learn about him, the more I want to know. So, and I want to take that same knowledge and just share it with everybody and just let them know that you have that opportunity to know God and just make your life the best life. Because you really can't do it without him.
Yes. Yes. All facts. And I know you've been, you know, really having these real discussions on your podcast. And I know, of course, it was inspired by our Heavenly Father. But you touched on it a little. Kind of expound a little more on your vision. What do you want our followers or your your followers to get out of the podcast?
Really just to be inspired, because I know a lot of times we struggle with things in private. And so my goal, one of my goals is to just talk about, I tell it on a podcast like this. I don't mind telling my silly story. I have made some silly mistakes. We all have. And I can laugh at myself. I've learned from my mistakes. And that's all a part of making life happen, because I would tell my son all the time, listen, you cannot learn from the mistakes that you don't make. Yeah. And so because I've made some mistakes, and I'm extremely transparent, I don't care, I'm an open book. Yeah. And if I can enlighten anybody in any kind of way through the victories and the life struggles and challenges that I've made, then I'm all for it. Because when I talk to people, different ones, and that's one of the things, that one of the feedback that I get from any trainer, that you are so open, you're so transparent. I'm like, yeah, because I'm an open book to Jesus. I can't hide from Jesus. So, and if he's not ashamed of me, and I'm not going to be ashamed of me, so why not tell my story? Because I know that it's going to help somebody.
Amen. Amen. That is a great answer. And I also want to say this. So something about that last name Hunter, man, that's just, it is just something about that last name. But I said that because your husband has always talked about your spiritual wisdom from day one. And I know you talk about it on your podcast, but can you share with our listeners about your own relationship with God?
Okay. I don't think you have enough time on this podcast, but I'm going to give you a little bit. I have always sought out something bigger than me. Because when I was little, it was just in me. I knew that I heard about God, and I heard all these stories about God, and they talked, and reading the Bible, you experience these big things, and this is a great big God. So, you know, I went to him with that childlike faith. I'm like, this dude is big. This is huge.
Yeah.
I said, but this can't be it. This got to be more to life than just this. Mm-hmm. What I mean by this is just existing. You get up every day, you go through this routine, and you go to sleep, and you wake up, and you do it all over again. That is so boring. And I said, and I hear about this God who is so supernatural, and he does great things, and he performs miracles, signs, and wonders. And I'm like, okay, I want to know more about who this is. Mm-hmm. So as I was growing up, I remember, I think I was about maybe 8, 9, something like that. And, you know, children are just fascinated. They have this wonderful imagination, which some of us can, as adults, need to go back to. I said to God, and I would pray this prayer all the time. I said, God, I want to help you help people. Now, shout like faith. I want to help you help people. But in order for me to do that, I need to be able to see in the future so I can tell them which way to go and which way not to go. And that was my prayer for, I can't tell you, a long time. I can still remember the room. I can remember what it looks like. And every night before I go to bed, because we were taught to say our prayers before we went to bed, and that was my prayer. Lord, I want to help you help people. I need to be able to see into the future so I can tell them which way to go and which way not to go. That was my prayer. Little did I know I was praying my future.
Yeah.
And so what I believe and what I've grown to know is that a lot of things that we pray is because God is putting it in our heart to pray, because he said in his word that my word would not go out and return unto me void, but it has to get out into the earth realm. So I believe that he puts it in our heart to pray what he wants, his will. And, you know, once we pray it, he said, oh, okay, now I can perform on it, because it's out there. My word is out there. And so as I grew up and kept growing, I kept seeking. I was like, there's something greater. There's something more to life than this. This can't be it. There's got to be more. And I remember going to the church. I started going to church when I was about 5 years old. And I call myself a mutt because I've been to the AME, the Baptist, Pentecost, the Holiness. I've been a part of all of them. And so I'm not a purebred in that respect, you know, because some people go to one particular denomination all their life.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's what I call purebred. I was sitting in the church and I say, how do I know this is the right religion? How do I know this is the right church? How do I know something is missing? something is missing. There's more to this. And there was a lady that used to sit on the front pew. And every now and again, something would happen in the service and something would change. Something was different about this one woman. And I was like, God, she's experiencing something that I've not seen before. So I would go home and I was like, okay, Lord, whatever that was, I want to encounter that too.
Wow.
And that was right before. And you know how the ushers would come, you know, the ushers in the white with the gloves on, they would come and they would fan her and then they would take her out. I'm like, no, 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 no. I want to see what's going to happen. Stop it. You know? So I would go and I was like, God, what is that? Okay. So I just didn't know what to ask for. See, I was introduced to Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was introduced to the death of Christ and he died for our salvation. But what I found out later on in 1997, I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, that's the missing piece. And that's when it really all started.
And, you know, people will sometimes are hesitant and like, because they're not familiar with the, you know, have the true understanding, but the Bible speaks about this, those spiritual gifts and how it's, you know, given to us to help one another for the common good of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I appreciate that story. And you may not even remember this. I was just thinking about it. So my mother, at my mother's funeral, you were there, and I won't say it was a relative. She told me that she was really, of course, down about my mom. Maybe it was some other things going on. And you approached her and said, you know, God told me to pray with you, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Can I pray with you? And she said, y'all prayed together. And it just, you know, really made her feel a lot better. And, you know, because she asked me who you were and all of that. But that's, I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, for you, that was definitely God speaking to you and you being a vessel. So I'd never shared this with you, but I thought, hey, this is a perfect time just hearing your story. So thank you.
And see, that's the amazing thing about God. Because I was so frustrated and I struggled for so long, which I know that there was purpose in that, even that, because I take that struggle and I want to help people. Because when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, my prayer was, Lord, how many more people are out there hungering and thirsting and looking for you and not knowing how to gravitate or just how to find you to this degree? I said, you know what? I want to go back and get them. Right?
Yes.
So he sent me on a Harriet Tubman mission. Go back and get them. And that is my goal about making life happen. That is my goal about there is more to life than just existing.
Yeah.
You are, and we are, spiritual beings, first and foremost, having a human encounter. Because I say that because we're eternal beings. This body is just the suit that we're wearing while we're here, while we're transitioning through here. So our spiritual, the spiritual side of us, we are more engaged with the physical part of us rather than the spiritual side of us.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, and this scares a lot of people, believe it or not, I want to be able to see into that spiritual realm. We're able, God has given us that ability. We're able to see and know and understand that spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And trying to introduce people to that. And I know it's a level of fear because it's the unknown. But I'm so excited about it because the Bible tells me in Jeremiah 29:11 that he said, I have thoughts towards you that are good and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. Number one, that lets me know you're thinking about me. And number two, because I'm so nosy, I want to know what you're thinking about me. And number three, to bring me to what expected end. That means you have some expected ends for me, not just one. To get to eternity, you have some specific ends to me for me while I'm here. There's an end to this particular journey. I'm on this particular journey. There's an end to that. I need to know. That's the prophetic realm. That's the prophetic realm that I love so, so much, because one thing about that prophetic realm is that one word from the Lord can change your life. And so prayer, I absolutely love prayer. Let me tell you something. That is my superpower.
Yes.
I hesitate to say prayer because a lot of times people look at prayer as a chore. It's not a chore. It's fun. It's fun for me because I get to talk to my daddy.
Yeah.
And not only do I get to talk to him, he talks back to me. The thing about what I love about the prophetic realm is because I'm talking to you, but I'm hearing God tell me what to tell you. So what I'm doing is I'm having a conversation with the Father and telling you what he's saying, so you're getting the benefit of our conversation.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's a whole lot. And, you know, to your point, we should be excited about it, and we should be giving thanks in all circumstances. So I appreciate you sharing that. But you know what else I thought about? So, you know, people will question those messages we have for them. And I think it's sometimes because it's not the message God gave them. So the message God gave me is going to be different than what he gave you. And so we put that expectation, like if God is giving me a message, I think it should apply to you. And so we get confused and we don't really understand. God talks to all of us at different times for different reasons. Yeah. So,
That goes back to reading the word. If we knew the word and understood the word, we would know that, like you said, God speaks to all of us and we are each other's keeper.
Yes.
And there may be times when you're going through something that you can't hear. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you one other thing for me. Mm-hmm. I would pull together a team of prophets and intercessors, because when I'm trying to hear something for myself, I don't trust that as much as I would coming from someone who don't know me, someone who not familiar with my situation. I'm going to tell you why. Wow. Because when I'm asking God for something, I'm believing God for something, and I'm trying to hear from him, mm-hmm. sometimes our thoughts get in the way. And I question, like, okay, Lord, is this you or is this me wanting it to be you? But if I have that confirmation that's coming from you, then I know that's God. Because there are times when the Lord will have or send a word to me that out of the blue, I know it was him, because this person, I haven't talked to him in years.
Yes.
And so even if there are times when he does send a word and it doesn't agree with me at that moment, I tell people all the time, and I wish they would stop training people. If it doesn't agree with your spirit, or if it's not confirmation, it's not God. That's not true.
Yes.
That's not true, because God can think and say and speak outside of your own ability to hear. There are words that I've gotten. They didn't apply to me at that moment. So I didn't throw them out. I just put them up on the shelf. And I said, if it's God, guess what? It's going to happen. Yes. If it's not, it'll stay up on the shelf.
Yes.
I don't throw out the word. I can tell you that my life right now is the result of at least 20 plus years of promises, prayers, prophetic words. God sent me the word about my husband. He sent me the word about this house that I'm in. He sent me the word about a whole lot of events that has happened in my life, and they have come to pass. Even through trials and tribulations, I can remember him telling me that I was going to get hit with the spirit of infirmity in 2015. It manifested in 2020. But I had that word to hold on to. And when I held on to that word, because he told me in 2015 that I was going to be hit, but it was connected to assignment and it was for a reason. So when it happened in 2020 and I got sick, I said, this is not unto death. This is just a fulfillment of the prophetic word that God spoke to me in 2015.
Wow. You talk about faith and strength and courage, all of that. So I applaud you on it. And so much to unpack with what you just said. Let me think. Where do I want to start? So let me back up a little. What advice would you give to someone who has a similar gift as yours? What advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing I would do is to develop it. The Bible talks about how, and Paul talks about this, and even the laying hands on the disciples. Yeah. I can impart a gift to you, which we can impart gift things, and we can impart different things. But my goal is to develop all what's already in you. Mm-hmm. We have been taught a lot in the church about, you hear people say, well, what's your gift and what's your gift? My gift is prophecy. My gift is healing. My gift is speaking in tongues. My gift is this. I'm going to sum it all up and say, no, your gift is the Holy Spirit.
Gotcha.
He manifests himself through prophecy. He manifests himself through healing. Your gift, all that. When God came into you, when he baptized you with his Spirit, he didn't just baptize you with prophecy. He didn't just baptize you with healing. He baptized you with his Spirit. He came in with all of him. And so whatever gifting you practice and you exercise, the muscles are like an exercise. Whatever muscle you exercise, that's the one that's going to be the strongest.
That's right.
Right? So whatever gift you exercise the most or you function in and you develop the most, that's the one that's going to be the strongest. Now, can we all be prophets and can we all prophet? Yes, we can all prophesy. But there are times when he may use you in healing. There are times when he may use you in this. Now, I'm very strong. There are some of my muscles that are stronger than others. I'm very strong in the area of prophetic ministry. I'm very strong in the gift of knowledge. I'm very strong in the gift of wisdom.
Yes.
So it's up to me to continue to walk with God so he can show me how to develop everything else. So my advice would be to get to know the Father. That's number one, develop your relationship with God and everything else is going to manifest out of that. So don't focus on the gift, focus on the giver. Focus on the author of the gift and everything else is going to take care of itself.
Hey man, I love that. It's so much. I'm trying to remember and I'm getting older. So bear with me a little. The other thing you talked about confirmation, and I absolutely love that as well. I was thinking about when you said it, I attended this event Tuesday and some of the staff members there introduced me to this person over human resources for this organization. And she immediately said, hey, I'm hiring. We really need some employees. If you know anyone looking for a job, let me know. An hour later, I'm on the road and a relative called me and said, hey, I have a friend looking for a job. And when you hear stuff like that, you're like, wow, that's and I told her what had just transpired and said, hey, this is a divine intervention. I hope. And I still haven't heard back yet, but I hope they understood how important that was because it may not have been the ideal job. But as I was saying to my relative at that point, sometimes you get your foot in the door. Things there's a path. There's preparation. Mm-hmm. We can talk about Moses, you know, in the wilderness before coming back to lead his people out of Egypt. There was a journey before that. And those are things that we don't talk about, but preparation is big. And so when you said that, I just started thinking about this past Tuesday. And so confirmation is really important.
Yeah, that's a relationship. That's one of the key things I teach and talk about a lot is developing that relationship. And I can tell you that when I first started out in 1997, April the 3rd, 1997 at Bible study, 7:00 p.m. That's when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, that encounter changed my life. And I've been chasing God ever since. I stalk him. I stalk God. And so what happened is that when I went up for prayer, I was used to going up for prayer and everybody get around the altar and the preacher or the pastor or whoever, they would say, come out and say, okay, Lord, you know, they pray this general prayer. Lord, you know what they stand in need of, bless them. And I'm just summarizing, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And I would walk away from, I'm like, dang it. Lord have mercy. I was kind of frustrated, disappointed. I went up this particular time, I said, you know, as a matter of fact, I was so disappointed that I pretty much left the church in 85. Because I was like, I'm just not finding what I'm looking for. But the Lord just wouldn't let me quit. And something drew me back. And he sent a young lady that worked with me. And she was just talk about church so much. And I'm like, I ain't never been excited about church. Let me go see what this chick is doing that I'm missing. Right? And so I called a friend of mine that I knew that had Bible study. And I said, I'm going to go to church with you. Because she'd been trying to get me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get through the barriers of the things that we are taught and we latch on to and we believe. And one of the things that I believed, and I can't remember where it came from, mm-hmm. I have no idea. I never experienced a woman pastor. And I just like, no, that's not right. A woman can't be no pastor. Now, yeah. Remember them back in the day.
Yeah.
But at this point, I didn't care because I was like, I'm after something here. Yeah. I went to this church. That one, I'll never forget, the message that she preached was called Walking the Talk. And when she gave that altar call, uh-huh. I was the first one out. And when she waited for everybody to come that wanted to come, and by the time she got to me, she said, okay, what is it that you want from the Lord? I looked at her, I was like, I don't know. I'm just tired. I'm literally tired. And she stepped back and she said, oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I'm looking at this woman like, what? That's a good thing to be sick of being sick and tired of being tired. That's a good thing. And when she said that, she read my mail. I said, when she got through talking to me, I said, this woman doesn't know me from Adam. How does she know this stuff? And I kept hearing them say, God said, and she kept saying, I said, God talks? Wait a minute. I said, now, if he talks to her, I got home and I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute now. If you talk to her about me, yeah. then you can talk to me about me. And so that really what started my journey. Now, here's another thing. Uh-huh. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't, you know, I would say, now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayers. I'm yeah. like, no, there's got to be more to prayer than that. And I felt awkward about praying. So it had to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. I got a journal. I got a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started journaling. I tell people there's no wrong or right way to journal either. But my journaling started. I started writing Dear Jesus letters. And I would just tell them about my day.
Yes.
And that's how I would pray. I would write Dear Jesus letter. I have books and books and journals. And then one night I had a dream. This man came to me some months later, maybe probably even a year later. He said, thank you for the letters. And I woke up and I was like, what letters? And I was like, oh, my goodness, you got my letters. Okay, God.
Wow.
So, you know, things like that would just excite me. He would give me scriptures in my dream. I would wake up and I would ask him a question and I would go to sleep. And he talked to me in my dream and I would wake up with the answers.
Yes. Yeah.
One example, the first scripture, I had never really read the Bible beyond Moses, the story of Moses.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't go beyond that because I was like, I can't read this book. It's too, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But I never made it to the New Testament. So in this dream, he spoke to me, Matthew 13, 8 and 18. Uh-huh. So when I woke up, I said, did he say Matthew 8? And I had never read Matthew before. I said, did he say Matthew 8, 18? What did he say? So I said, let me just get the book. So Matthew 13, 8 and 18. So when I turned it to Matthew 13, it was talking about this parable of the seed sower.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8 talks about, and some fell on good soil. And it produced some 30, some 60. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't know. I don't understand. They said, well, maybe he said 18. So I flipped over to 18. AZ. It broke it down. And this is the meaning of the parable. Well done.
God is good.
I was okay. He was teaching me.
Yes.
And so I was so excited about that. I said, all right, what else you got? I want to know. I was on a hunt. It was on. From that point, it was just on.
Man, that zeal for the Lord. I love it. And that's a great story, by the way. So I know you're a wise woman of God and people come to you for advice. So because what I just heard now, I know for a fact, you don't get there unless you spend quality time with God. And that's through reading the word, that's through those prayers. And the more we do that, the more he quiet our own thoughts. So, so let me ask you this, when people come to you for advice, is God speaking to you in that moment, or does your brain revert and go to a scripture automatically? Tell me about that process, because I'm interested in hearing that.
It's actually all of that. Honestly, okay. It's all of that. One thing about God, he's always speaking. Always.
Yeah.
And it may not even be where he's saying, say this or say that. Mm-hmm. It may just be he's coming through in wisdom, because my walk with my 25-year journey with God is so much that I've ingested,
mm-hmm.
that I don't really need to go to the word, because the word is in me now. And so when people come to me with issues, trouble, whatever, it's like, first I hear what they're saying. And 9 times out of 10, what people are saying to you out of their mouth, their heart is saying something else. So I've asked the Lord to train my ear to hear their heart rather than their mouth.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, I'm like, now teach me how to pray effectively, or not to say anything at all. Because a lot of times when people come to you with, they want to talk or whatever, I have to listen to, and this is funny, out of two sides of my brain. Am I listening? So, cause you want a solution, or am I listening because you just want to talk? Because if you listen for a solution, then I'm listening with the left side of my brain, because I'm trying to hear what God is saying to your solution. If you're wanting to just talk, then I'm gonna let you talk. In the midst of all of that, if God is saying something, then I'm going to relay it, and I'm going to ask him, how does he want me to relay it?
Mm-hmm.
To you know, so they can receive it.
Yeah.
And now, let me give you an example of that. I remember someone asked me to pray over this group of people, with this group of people. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, it was one young lady in there that the vision I had, because I'm very visual too, and the Lord will show me a lot of visions. The vision I had was the word anger, or I would see her face distort, and I just saw her really just going at it, just arguing and fussing and carrying on. And I was like, I don't know how you want me to relay this. So what is it that you're saying? So I'm having to wait to process what I'm seeing. So by the time I get to her, and I asked her, I never pray for anyone, first of all, openly, unless I ask, is it all right if I pray with you? And even if they say no, I'm going to still pray for them, just not with them. And so I asked her, I said, well, can I pray with you? She said, yes, please. And so the Lord allowed me to relay the message to her in such a way that she could receive it. Now, if I had told her, you need to watch your mouth, and all I see is your mouth is going and going and going. Well, that's what I saw. But the way the Lord had me to relay it to her was, you know, you have a very tender heart and you're very misunderstood. But a lot of times you say the things that you say come out not the way you intended. I'm not telling you not to say what you say. I'm just telling you to maybe soften it a little bit.
Yeah.
So he'll give you ways to process it. But again, that comes with maturity,
mm-hmm.
because I can't tell you how many people I've seen and how many people I've heard have been wounded in the church by immature ministers, immature people, immature leaders.
Yeah.
Because of something that they've said, the way that they've said it.
Amen.
I also say it like this. We have to check our own filter, because whatever we say out of our mouth is coming through the condition of our filter, which is our heart. So if our heart is hurt and we're broken, then the stuff that we say is going to come out, and we're going to end up bleeding on people that never cut us.
Mm-hmm. And masking those impulses to take a jab or a little punch at someone, or you know, I've heard and seen, you know, the Lord told me to tell you, you need to lose weight and things yeah. like that. God talks to us, but our God is a loving God. He's not going to tell you to say something in a way that's going to hurt someone's feelings. So
can you say that one more time? That's billboard worthy right there.
Yes. Yes.
And that has caused a lot of people to leave God. That has yeah. caused a lot of people to run from God instead of to him.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm thankful. I am so thankful for every time I got sliced, diced, because that made me want to not ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm thankful for that because I know how it feels to hurt somebody. And I don't want to do that. So I'm very careful, mm-hmm. very, very careful how yeah. I, one, represent God. And how I, and two, how I love on his people. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated.
Preach, preach. And so, like, in saying that, we know, both of us, I know, agree that there are people who are deprived from that personal relationship with God. They're mm-hmm. in that dark place. And mm-hmm. so how do we get them to reconnect or to connect with God? Because you touched on something really important, because when we do and say certain things, where it's easy to push people away from God, but bringing them to God, it could be very challenging.
You know why? Because it takes time and it takes energy to walk with people.
Yeah.
Just, I'm going to give you a visual imagery here.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings are hurt and you never want to be bothered with the situation or anything that looked like the situation again. But if I come by and grab you by the hand and you say, you know what? I know exactly what you're going through. And it's okay. I know you're hurt.
Yeah.
You should be. If you need to cry, cry. And I'm going to stand right here with you and let you cry.
Mm-hmm.
And once you cry and get it out, then I want to love on you to let you know that that's not everybody.
Yes.
Because God said for us to make disciples, and the only way you're going to make a disciple and bring people to Christ is you got to walk with them. He didn't. How many people you see pushing something? Yeah, you can't push them. You walk with them.
Yes.
Love on them. He said, "With love and kindness have I drawn you." Love and kindness is what's going to draw. So if I show you and I'm transparent and open with you, more than likely you're going to want to trust me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All facts. And I'm just sitting here thinking about when Minister Snead was on and she talked about losing her 2-week-old baby and how the ones who she remembered most and appreciated were the ones who just sat there with her. They weren't saying, you know, because that awkward time, you're trying to be consoling, but you kind of said things that actually have adverse effects, you know, like, well, you know, the Lord, it was his will, you know.
That's the last thing
they need to hear.
That right there, that's a topic for a whole nother podcast. The Lord's will is that you live, prosper, and be in good health, even as your soul prosper.
Yes.
That's his will.
Yes.
The Lord didn't kill anybody. The Lord didn't. I wish they would stop teaching that. But the thing of it is that it doesn't take much to be kind. It doesn't take much to show the love of God.
Uh-huh.
When a person is going through something, and again, I'm thankful for everything he's allowed me to go through because it taught me so much. When a person is going through something that's traumatic, and you go to them and say, look here, woman of God, or look here, man of God, you know what the Bible says to do this, and you know you need to be doing. No, because if you could be doing it, you would be doing it.
Yes.
This is the time where I need you to come and hold up my arms, not condemn me or make me feel like, oh, my God, my faith is failing me. I'm not strong enough. I should be. No. My advice to anybody in any situation, if you're going through something and you see that person going through something, don't go offer them a bunch of advice about what they should be doing. You only need to ask one question. What can I do?
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
What can I do? They may not need you to do anything, but the fact that they know that you're there and you're willing and you'll be there for them if they do need something, that's comforting enough.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now you, in one of your episodes, you talked about blind faith. And again, this is really more so for my listeners. I kind of know some of the stuff you touched on, but can you give us an example of walking with blind faith in your life?
Yes. Oh my goodness. So there, again, all of this comes with maturity. We all have been given a level of faith, yeah. But we grow in our faith daily. And with the help of the Lord, he teaches us, just like we're trusting our fathers. Just say, for instance, your father. Mm-hmm. From a little girl. I'm a little girl or a young man. If daddy said that he was going to do something, you didn't question it. Right? Yes. It's a done deal. If daddy said, I'm coming to pick you up and we're going to go to the store. Well, I'm going to sit on daddy. I'm going to sit on this porch and wait on daddy. I don't care what nobody says. My daddy coming. I don't care what you say. Well, it's 9 o'clock and he ain't here yet, but he coming. It could be the next day or next week. Daddy said it. He coming. Well, we have to get to that place. But I wasn't always there and still growing in Christ myself. So one example is in the year 2000, mm-hmm. The Lord told me to quit my job. No, I can go back further than that. My son was in college.
Yeah.
And I drove up in my driveway. I was just going through, my job was horrible. I hated it. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? What's going on?
Now, what year was this, V?
This was in 2013.
Okay.
And I drove up in my driveway and I just sat and I put my hands on the steering wheel and I rested my head because I was just like done. I'm like, what? I need, Lord, help. What is this? And I heard just as clear. What is holding you here? Now, I have heard that before, and I kept hearing it. What's holding you here? But I always thought it was my thought. And that's why I say about not trusting my own thoughts. Sometimes, what's holding you here? And when I sat out in the driveway that day, I recognized that that wasn't me. That was the Lord saying, what's holding you here? And I thought about it. I said, huh, what is holding me here? My son, he's grown. He's in college. My mom don't need me. My siblings are all around her. She good.
Yeah.
What is holding me here? I'm sick of this job. What? I said, it's really nothing holding me here, Jesus, but this mortgage. I can fix this. I backed up. I literally put the car in reverse. I was going down around the corner of the Lowe's to get a for sale sign right then. And I was going to put it in the front yard. And I heard him say, wait, wait, just do it the proper way. Meaning go get a realtor and do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So I asked my son, I said, now when you come, he was in Australia at the time doing abroad, uh-huh. Doing study abroad. I said, when you come home, are you planning to come back home? Or are you just going to leave from college and go get your own? He said, well, Mom, I probably never come back home. I said, okay. Well, your mom is getting ready to sell the house. He said, well, where are you going, Mom? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, I said, the Lord just told me to, it's time to pack it up and move. And so I got a realtor. I put it on the market. My family asked me, well, what are you doing? I don't know. I didn't know God said. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I just know God said. He'll tell me along the way. So I ended up moving in with my best friend. Oh, my goodness. That it was one of the most fabulous times. Anyway, ended up moving in with her. Uh-huh. I ended up selling my house. Still didn't know where I was going. I ended up living with her for 8 years. Had no idea I'd be there for 8 years. Wow. That was not the plan. It was so not the plan. My plan was to move in and be out in about 6 months. But it worked out. My relationship with God grew exponentially during this time. And I stepped out on faith. And at one point, I began to doubt. After about 8 years, I'm like, what? He's telling me to move me. You know, but yeah. I had a word. And so I kept believing, And you know what? That house that he showed me, because when he showed me this house that I'm in right now, it scared the bejeebus out of me.
Really?
I was like, oh my God, no, 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 please, Jesus. I just not got to the point where I can pay for this one and have enough money left over for a sandwich. Please don't make me move.
Yes.
I said, I can't afford that house anyway. It's too big. And I'm going on about what I can't do and why I'm not. Oh my God, no. After I calmed down, AZ, oh my God, I heard a still small voice. He said, did I say you was going to be by yourself? And I looked up and I thought about it. Oh, okay. And I went back to praying. Thought no more about it. But I can tell you right now, and this is just a little piece of this story, I'm in that house and I'm not by myself. I'm with someone I never thought I'd be with. Showed him to me in a dream. That was a prophetic word.
Yeah.
20 years ago, a friend of mine who lives in Canada was praying for me one day. And she said, I heard the Lord saying something about your husband. I immediately shut down. She said, Who is Rodney? I said, Lord Jesus, she done got it wrong. She done missed it. I don't know Rodney. I don't know if I named Rodney. She done got it wrong. But I didn't tell her she got it wrong. Again, this is one of the things I'm putting up on the shelf.
Yeah.
I'm like, she missed it. Bless her heart. She's probably somebody she's picking up in the spirit for her. Well, I can tell you that here it is. 20 some years later. What's my husband's name?
Rodney.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why you said you just touching on it. I want to hear the story. So, like,
it's too big. It's a lot. So much. And that's why I chase God the way that I do. Because I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, man, if I could super glue myself to him, I would.
Yeah.
I would. I love me some him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm after what's in his heart. I'm not after his hand. Because if I get his heart, AZ, I'm going to get what's in his hand. Matthew tells me that. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is going to be added. Everything. So I want to know his heart. I want to know what makes him sad. I want to know what makes him happy. I want to know his heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm after. And if I can share that with anybody and get them excited about the Lord like this, I asked him, this is another prayer I pray, make me infectious. If we can infect people with COVID, we can infect people with colds and viruses and all this stuff. Why can't we infect people with the hunger for God?
Amen.
Facts. I want to be an appetizer. That's what I want to be.
Yeah. And we are. And your podcast, I mean, you're doing it. And so making life happen with mm-hmm. Trainer V.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get here? What got you here?
Because I don't want to go through life just existing. And in order for life to happen, God said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We can't just sit on the couch and think it's going to knock on our front door. We got to get up and make some things happen. That's Amen. What making life happen is all about. Don't just exist through this pocket of time. Live it. Live it. My making life happen does not look like what you're making life happen means. So whatever it is that's going to make you happy and whatever it is that you need to get to your journey to put that smile on your face and for you to wake up and just like, oh God, life is worth living. That's what I mean. That's what I'm all about. It's enough misery out here to last us to eternity. Look, it's enough of that already. What makes you happy? Who yeah. makes you happy? Whatever that is, let's do it. Do it. Don't wait on tomorrow. Don't wait on all these promises. Well, I'm going to do this when I do it. Why not do it now? And so I encourage people. I say, start small. Do one happy a day. Whatever that is, just make sure you do one happy a day. And then when you look back over a week or some months, look back at all the milestones of happy, because you're training yourself how to be happy. We know how to be miserable, but do we really know how to be happy?
Wow. Preach, man. That's thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about your literature, your works, because you have an impressive library. If I wanted to buy, what book would you recommend our audience purchase first?
The one I wrote a book called In Garden of His Presence. Mm-hmm. That is just a window. You know how you go window shopping, you just look through the window and yeah. say, "Ooh, that's pretty, that's pretty, that's pretty." Well, yeah. that book is like a windows, a view in the window of my life and how I developed my relationship. Wow. It's a very quick, easy read, mm-hmm. and just some of the things that I feel like are important in your development. Like one of the chapters in there, and I talked about on one of my episodes, preparing a place. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go that I'm going to be for a period of time, I always carve out a place for the Lord. Where, like in my office right now, I just started a new job. But in my office, I have a prayer corner. I have my desk over here where I'm constantly working. And so I need to get up and separate myself from that desk. And I go over to this corner. And this is the place that I've carved out that when I sit down on this chair, and I have it conducive for that atmosphere. This is the place where me and God, we're going to have lunch together.
Yes.
In my house, the Lord has allowed me to take my tabernacle, I call it, with me everywhere I've gone. And that's a whole nother thing. I asked the Lord in 1997, I said, my next house, I want an upper room. I want a ranch style house. I want an upper room where I can go and meet you in this place I had prepared for you, just like the Shunammite woman.
Yeah.
I want to, and it's called throne room. So I actually have times of just soaking worship in the upper room. He has given me that place and he's designed it. It was designed just like I asked him for it.
Mm. Man,
so just preparing a place. So that book right there, it talks about my relational development. I used to have date nights. I would go home on Friday nights and I would prepare myself and I would go in my place, my tabernacle, and I would meet God. Because here's the thing. We prepare for a date. If I'm getting ready to go on a date and I get myself all printed up and ready and I'm just excited about meeting this guy,
yeah.
how much more excited should I be about meeting Jesus?
Wow.
So we have date nights every Friday night.
You're speaking the truth, man. I appreciate just being here absorbing this. This is good. As we wrap up, I always want to give my guests the floor so they can talk about whatever it is that's on their mind, was inspired by the Lord. If you want to talk about your books, your show, whatever you want to talk about, I'm giving you the floor. So handing it to you.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to get the little presentries out of the way. You can tune into my podcast, again, Making Life Happen with Trainer V.
Yes.
You can go to Amazon. I have a few books out there. I have a children's book out there. I have that book out there in Garden of His Presence. I have a devotional out there that goes with it and a couple of other books, Making Life Happen on a Budget, Making Life Happen in the Workplace. And I'm coming out with a few more. But what I want to leave with everybody is hope. Hmm. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what has happened in your life. I don't care if you feel like you're the most unworthy person in the world. God died for you. And if he died for you, he made you worthy. And he would never, ever turn you away. And there are situations where we go through that make us feel like we're unwanted. We're not good enough or whatever. But I want you to know that God wants, you are the one he wants, that one. He came to save those that are sick and those that are lost. He wants you the most. And it's our job, my job, and it's my privilege and my pleasure to just to introduce you to Jesus. Introduce you to God. I'm going to get out of the way and I'm going to let you and God, but I'm going to walk with you until you need me to step out of the way.
That is so touching. You have the floor. You could talk about anything, but you just reminded all of us that salvation is the most important thing. And so kudos to you and much success on all those journeys. And I don't even have to claim it. God has already spoken to you. You're doing it. And I'm a fan. So anything you need, we're right here. God bless you, V, and thank you so much for joining us.
I thank you for having me. Like I said, anytime I get to talk about my daddy, it is such a privilege. Anytime I get to introduce him, it's like, listen, y'all, you're missing out. You're missing out on so much good stuff. And you don't have to, that's the beautiful thing about God. You don't have to be perfect.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Trainer V.
Yeah, just don't worry about being perfect. Just, he loves you just the way you are. He made you. He didn't make any mistakes. He knew what he was doing.
Yes. Yes. Man. Trainer V, thank you so much. And we will see you soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I can't wait to come back and talk to you some more.
We can make that happen, man. All right. God bless you.
All right. You have a good evening.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.